I want to take you on this journey with me, sharing exactly how I went from being a hesitant storyteller to someone who can captivate an audience in English. Whether you're just starting your English journey or you've been learning for years, I promise you'll find something useful in my experience. Let me start from the beginning. It was a rainy Tuesday evening in October when I first walked into that small classroom where the storytelling club met. I remember feeling so intimidated because I could hear laughter and animated voices from inside. My first thought was, maybe I should just go home and practice grammar instead. But I'm so glad I didn't leave. The moment I stepped inside, I was greeted by Maria, the club coordinator from Spain. She had this warm smile and immediately made me feel welcome. "Are you here for storytelling?" she asked. When I nodded nervously, she said, "Perfect. We love new faces. Tonight we're sharing stories about unexpected discoveries." What happened next was like watching magic unfold. One by one, club members stood up and shared their stories. There was Ahmed from Egypt talking about finding a hidden cafe in his neighborhood, Sarah from Canada describing her grandmother's secret recipe, and Louis from Brazil sharing how he accidentally became a street performer. But here's what amazed me. None of them were native English speakers, yet their stories were absolutely captivating. I sat there thinking, how do they make their English sound so alive, so engaging? That's when I realized they weren't just speaking English. They were painting pictures with words, creating emotions, and building connections with their audience. They were using techniques I had never learned in my regular English classes. After that first meeting, I became obsessed with understanding what made their stories so powerful. Maria noticed my enthusiasm and offered to mentor me. Our first lesson was about narrative structure, something I had never really thought about when speaking English. "Elena," Maria explained, "every good story has a beginning, middle, and end. But more importantly, it has what we call a hook at the start, a conflict or challenge in the middle, and a resolution that leaves the audience satisfied." She taught me to think of stories like journeys. "You need to take your listeners from point A to point B," she said, "but make the journey interesting enough that they want to follow you every step of the way." This was a revelation. I started practicing with simple stories from my daily life. Instead of just saying, "I went to the store and bought bread," I learned to say, "Yesterday, I had the strangest encounter at the local bakery. I was just planning to grab a quick loaf of bread, but what happened next taught me something unexpected about human kindness." Can you see the difference? The second version creates curiosity and makes you want to hear more. This simple shift in how I approached storytelling completely transformed my English communication. The second major breakthrough came when Maria introduced me to the concept of show, don't tell. This principle became my secret weapon for making stories come alive in English. Before learning this technique, I would tell stories like this: "My friend was really angry yesterday." But Maria taught me to show emotions through actions and details instead. Now I would say, "Yesterday, I watched my friend slam her textbook shut, take a deep breath, and stare out the window for what felt like forever. Her hands were trembling slightly as she finally turned to face me." This approach helped me expand my English vocabulary naturally. Instead of just knowing basic adjectives like big or small, I started learning words like towering, massive, tiny, and miniature. Instead of always saying someone was happy, I discovered words like delighted, thrilled, content, and ecstatic. But here's the best part. I wasn't memorizing these words from vocabulary lists. I was learning them because I needed them to tell my stories effectively. This made them stick in my memory much better than traditional studying methods. I remember practicing with a story about my morning routine. Instead of saying, "I woke up late and rushed to class," I transformed it into, "The harsh buzzing of my alarm felt like it was coming from another universe." I groggily reached for my phone, and my heart sank when I saw the time, 8:47 a.m. My first class started at 9 o'clock, and it was a 15-minute walk to campus. I jumped out of bed so quickly that I nearly tripped over my art supplies scattered on the floor. One of the most challenging aspects of English storytelling for me was learning how to control time and pacing. In my native Russian, I could easily move between past, present, and future tenses, but doing this smoothly in English required practice and understanding. Maria taught me about the different past tenses and when to use them in storytelling. "The simple past is your main storytelling tense," she explained. "But past continuous helps you set the scene, and past perfect lets you jump back in time when necessary." For example, I learned to combine these tenses like this. I was walking through the park, past continuous setting the scene, when I saw an elderly man feeding pigeons, simple past main action. He had been sitting there for hours, according to a jogger who stopped to chat with me, past perfect background information. This might sound technical, but in practice, it creates a rich, layered narrative that draws listeners in. The key was not to think about the grammar rules while telling the story, but to feel the natural flow of time and events. I also discovered the power of pacing, knowing when to slow down for important moments and when to speed up to maintain excitement. Short, punchy sentences create tension. "I opened the door." Silence. "My heart pounded." Longer, flowing sentences create calm or detailed description. "The afternoon sun streamed through the tall windows of the library, casting warm golden rectangles across the wooden floors where dust particles danced like tiny dancers in the light." As I became more comfortable with the technical aspects of storytelling, I started developing what Maria called my storytelling voice. This wasn't about changing my accent or trying to sound like someone else. It was about finding the authentic Alina within my English expression. I discovered that my background as an art student gave me a unique perspective. I naturally noticed visual details, colors, and compositions that others might miss. So I started incorporating these observations into my stories. When describing a morning at the cafe, I wouldn't just say it was crowded. I would paint the scene. The cafe buzzed with the symphony of espresso machines and conversation, while streams of golden sunlight painted zebra stripes across the rustic wooden tables through the Venetian blinds. This visual approach became my signature style. People started recognizing my stories because of the way I described scenes. It felt amazing to have a distinctive voice in English, something I never thought was possible as a non-native speaker. I also learned to embrace my Russian background rather than hide it. Sometimes I would share stories about cultural differences or explain Russian traditions. Instead of being embarrassed about my origin, I realized it gave me unique stories that only I could tell. This authenticity resonated with audiences much more than trying to tell generic stories. The most surprising discovery was how storytelling transformed my social interactions in English. Before, I often felt awkward at international student gatherings or English-speaking events. I would stick to safe topics like weather or studies, but conversations felt superficial. Once I developed my storytelling skills, everything changed. I could turn any conversation into an engaging exchange. When someone asked about my weekend, instead of giving a boring summary, I could share a mini-adventure story. When discussing a movie, I could relate it to a personal experience using narrative techniques. I remember one particular evening at an international potluck dinner. I was chatting with a group of students from different countries, and somehow the conversation turned to childhood fears. Instead of just saying, "I was afraid of dogs," I told them the story of how I overcame this fear through an unexpected encounter with a gentle giant of a dog named Boris in a Moscow park. By the end of my story, everyone was leaning in, sharing their own stories, and we had created this beautiful moment of connection. This taught me that storytelling isn't just about entertainment, it's about building bridges between people. When you share a well-told story, you're not just communicating information, you're sharing a piece of yourself and inviting others to do the same. Of course, this journey wasn't always smooth. I faced several challenges that many English learners will recognize. Sometimes I would get stuck mid-story, searching for the right word or phrase. Other times, I would lose my audience's attention because I included too many unnecessary details. One particularly embarrassing moment happened during my fourth club meeting. I was telling a story about a misunderstanding at the train station, but I got so caught up in describing every single detail that I took 15 minutes to tell what should have been a 5-minute story. I could see people's eyes glazing over, and I felt my confidence crumbling. But Maria helped me learn from this experience. She taught me the importance of editing my stories, knowing what to include and what to leave out. Every detail should either advance the plot, develop character, or create atmosphere, she advised. If it doesn't serve one of these purposes, cut it out. This lesson extended beyond storytelling to all my English communication. I became better at being concise and purposeful with my words, whether I was writing essays, giving presentations, or having casual conversations. Another challenge was dealing with my fear of making mistakes. In the beginning, I would often stop mid-sentence to correct myself or apologize for my grammar. But I learned that in storytelling, flow and engagement are more important than perfect grammar. Native speakers make mistakes too. The key is to keep going and maintain the story's momentum. Through this journey, I discovered several practical techniques that dramatically improved my English storytelling abilities. Let me share the most effective ones with you. First, I started keeping a story bank, a collection of personal experiences that I could draw upon in different situations. I would write brief notes about interesting things that happened to me, funny observations, or meaningful encounters. This way, I always had material ready when someone asked about my day or when I wanted to contribute to a conversation. Second, I learned the power of the callback, referencing something mentioned earlier in the story. This creates a sense of satisfaction and shows you're a skilled storyteller. For example, if I mentioned at the beginning of a story that I was wearing uncomfortable shoes, I might reference them again later when describing how I had to run for the bus. Third, I discovered that practicing in front of a mirror was incredibly helpful. It sounds silly, but it allowed me to work on my facial expressions, gestures, and timing without the pressure of an audience. I could experiment with different ways of telling the same story until I found the most effective approach. Fourth, I started reading my stories aloud to myself, recording them on my phone. This helped me identify parts that didn't flow well or sentences that were too long to say comfortably. It also helped me become more aware of my pacing and intonation. Finally, I learned to embrace silence and pauses. In the beginning, I felt like I had to fill every moment with words. But strategic pauses can be incredibly powerful in storytelling. They create suspense, allow important moments to sink in, and give your audience time to visualize what you're describing. What amazed me most was how improving my storytelling skills enhanced all aspects of my English communication. My academic writing became more engaging because I learned to create compelling introductions and logical narrative flow. My presentations became more dynamic because I could structure information like a story, with clear beginnings, middles, and ends. Even my everyday conversations improved dramatically. I became better at active listening because storytelling taught me to pick up on details that could become interesting story elements. I became more confident in group discussions because I could contribute meaningful anecdotes that related to the topics being discussed. My vocabulary expanded naturally and permanently because I was learning words in context, through stories that mattered to me. Instead of forgetting new words after a few days, they became part of my active vocabulary because they were connected to memorable experiences and emotions. As I reflect on this 3-month journey, I'm amazed at how much has changed. The nervous girl who almost didn't enter that storytelling club has been replaced by someone who looks forward to sharing experiences and connecting with others through the power of narrative. But perhaps the most important lesson I've learned is that language learning doesn't have to be just about grammar rules and vocabulary lists. When you approach English through storytelling, you're not just learning to communicate, you're learning to connect, to inspire, and to share the unique perspective that only you can offer. I still have so much to learn, and I make mistakes every day. But now I see each mistake as part of my story, each new word as a new color in my palette, and each conversation as an opportunity to practice this beautiful art of storytelling. My advice to you is simple. Start where you are, with the stories you already have. Don't wait until your English is perfect to begin sharing your experiences. Every day, you live moments that could become stories. That morning coffee that tasted particularly good, the kind stranger who helped you with directions, the beautiful sunset you witnessed on your way home, these are all potential stories waiting to be told. Remember, storytelling isn't about impressing people with big words or complex grammar. It's about sharing authentic human experiences in a way that creates connection and understanding. And honestly, the world needs more of that right now. So, what story will you tell today? I'd love to hear it, and I bet others would too. Start small, be authentic, and remember, every master storyteller started exactly where you are now, with the simple desire to share something meaningful with others. Thank you for joining me on this journey through my storytelling discovery. I hope my experience has inspired you to explore this wonderful aspect of English communication. Until next time, keep collecting stories, keep sharing your experiences, and keep connecting with others through the beautiful art of storytelling. Happy storytelling, everyone!